given that shift toward more people cooking at home and being more adventurous when cooking at home, now that the food service sector has started to rebound at least a little bit from, its challenging past couple of years due to pandemic restrictions. How do you see that kind of unfolding here as the as 2022 progresses?
Yeah, so in a way, it's only making the whole supply chain even more stressed because, to your point, the supply chain in the last 2 years was very focused on retail, and the demand of food service was lower than it historically has been. Now all the states are back open, a lot of the vaccine mandates and all the reasons why people may have chosen not to eat out are starting to decrease. Cases are down. There hasn't been really a new variant in the United States. So we see more engagement of consumers who want to get out of the house, who want to eat out. But at the same time, there is that, well, but I also need to save money. So there's again those contradictory pulls happening within the department. But from a supply chain point of view, you're absolutely right that the demand from food service, from restaurants, has geared up. In such a way, in certain cuts, that again, that is adding a ton of pressure to the system. So in terms of food service, they are actually at record sales as well. So we're in a very strange situation where both retail meat and food service are both at record levels. But on the restaurant side, it's all inflation as well. And it's also fewer restaurants that are driving that sales because a lot of restaurants went out of business. Then when you dig a little bit deeper, what you see is that certain categories like pizza and burgers and all the meals that really transport well for the delivery, the takeout, what have you, they did really well all throughout the pandemic. But it was really those higher end meals like your steaks, your seafood, your white tablecloth restaurants that you go to for both the experience and the quality of the food, they have yet to fully come back. And that's really why, if you look in the meat department, you see some cuts like ribeyes and very high-end cuts do so well, is because people were trying to replace that restaurant experience with creating something at home.
Okay. Along those lines, has there been kind of a surprise standout performer in the meat case given the current environment?
I would say so, and I'll start at a very high level, and that is beef. If you look at it from a consumer press sort of point of view, beef has gotten a lot of pressure where it's like, oh, people are worried about eating too much red meat, et cetera. If you look over the last 3 years, beef has been the top performer in the last 3 years. So we haven't really seen that supposed consumer pressure, as we talked about. Sometimes people say one thing, sometimes they do another. So beef in and of itself has been just the king of the castle these last 3 years. But then if you look within beef, what's really interesting is that you see huge strength in grinds and you see really good strength in the high-end steak cuts as well. So in part, that is sort of that environment that we've been talking about the last couple of minutes, right? Where on the one hand, people are making their steak restaurant meals at home. And on the other hand, they are buying grinds, be it beef, pork, what have you, in order to stretch the meat dollar. And so you just continue to see that phenomenon that I always laugh about, like when people want the latest iPhone, right? And it's $800 and you're sitting there eating ramen noodles for months on end to save the money for the latest iPhone. But people make trade-offs, and that's what we see very much in the meat department happening as well.
Are there any food or health or wellness trends kind of brewing out there now that are playing to, well, either the meat category in general strength or any specific kind of meat, like the keto trend? I know was beneficial for protein marketers of different kinds. Is there a new keto kind of coming up out there among the consumer wellness advocates?
No, I think you're dead on right in that those low carb, high protein diets, we all kind of thought that, like all the other diet trends before, that by now it would have peaked and gone down. And in a way, we sort of moved from Atkins to keto to paleo. And you know, there were, the label was a little bit different, but the focus on lower carb, high protein has been around for quite a few years now. And I do absolutely believe that it is helping the meat department. And I also see so many more meat brands do a better job at calling out those positive attributes. And they really focus on protein. Another one that I'm seeing, starting to see pop up a little bit more, is zinc. And then if you look at it from the consumer perspective, of course, the last 2 years, many consumers have been highly focused on immunity. And then when you ask a consumer, well, what do you associate with building or supporting your immune system? They obviously rattle off vitamin C. And that's why you see huge spikes in things like oranges, bell peppers, kiwis, what have you. But you also hear things like vitamin B, vitamin D, vitamin zinc, and a lot of the B and D and zinc vitamins there are in meat. And so I think what we're seeing is a lot of brands starting to do is just a better job of, you know, meat isn't bad for you. In fact, look at all these nutrients that meat and poultry bring to you in a very holistic and very natural way. And I think that message has been resonating with a lot of consumers. We've actually been seeing a more positive meat sentiment in the last couple of years.
Emery, what do you see as the, I guess, both the biggest challenge and the biggest opportunity in the meat case, whether it be for meat, poultry, seafood, whatever type of protein?
Yeah, well, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the inflation. Really across categories, as you know, I write in produce and deli and seafood and meat and candy and snacks. I see it everywhere. And sort of the trend that is very consistent is that, yes, we're having dollar growth, but there's pressure on units and volume. Now, you also have to look at that volume through the lens of hardly any producers are able to create the amount of food that is being ordered. You know, the ship rates are lower than I've ever known them to be. So is the volume pressure because we can't meet demand, or is the volume pressure because the demand from the consumer isn't there? So that's something that's very hard to put a label onto. But certainly, you know, figuring out how to help consumers with that inflationary pressure, I think, is important in poultry, in red meat, in seafood as well. And then I go back to, you know, from a consumer perspective, you often think about what did that meal just cost me? And I see operators like Wegmans, for instance, create merchandising and create messaging around, well, if you buy this meat and you buy this side and these veggies, et cetera, then your entire meal is $3.50 or $4 or whatever it is, which immediately has a consumer thinking, oh, wait a minute, even if I buy a Happy Meal at McDonald's, I pay double that. So it's really the idea of, yeah, meat is the most important, expensive portion of a typical meal. But if you think about it from the total meal perspective, cooking at home continues to be much more favorable from a cost perspective than eating out. So I think the whole idea of figuring out the inflation part, how do you help consumers with that, is important. But certainly playing into all the other trends that continue to be important across the entire store, convenience, health and wellness, sustainability, all of those are important. And this, you know, has to be that multifaceted puzzle that we all need to figure out.
Well, Anne-Marie, that's about all I had. I appreciate you taking time out to speak with me today, and thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you so much. This is wonderful.